Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. For those of you who are new to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, this is a forum for people who are interested in the intersection between their intuition, their intention setting, their imagination, and manifestation. So if those topics are of interest to you, you are definitely in the right place. I encourage you to share your pretty shiny face, a little picture of yourself, so we know that you're following the show, and to check out the other wonderful shows with Insights Radio as well, and also to check out our community, our new community, the Intuitive Light Community on Facebook, for support if you are on your own intuitive journey. So check that out as well. Want to let you know what's coming up on Inner Voice in the near future. We have some really exciting guests coming up. On June 18th, Rick DiClemente will be joining me and talking about his book, Exquisite Astrology. Rick DiClemente uses an archetypal approach to astrology, and I'm really excited to have him share the hour with us. Then on June 25th, William O'Mara will be on talking about prosperity, and he is a prosperity advisor and works with the energy of the law of attraction and is a coach, and I'm really excited to talk to him too. And then on July 2nd, Belle Salisbury will be on. Belle Salisbury has a wonderful magazine called Belle Spirit. That's an online magazine that is all about connecting with your intuition and different tools to do that. And she has her own show on Hazy Radio as well, called the Belle Spirit Hour. I'm not exactly sure about that. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to having her on the show as well. So let me see if that's it or if there's one more here that I'm forgetting about. Nope, that is what I've got lined up right now. So with no further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight. I'm so excited to have Eric Dunn on. Eric Dunn just completed and published a deck of tarot cards that are just so beautiful. I just received them in the mail as a gift and was just blown away by them. I was lucky enough to get to read for someone today using them, and I tell you, they just really open up your imagination, and there's just so much detail, so much intricacy, so much thought going into these cards. So we're going to look at them and talk to Eric and what his process and journey has been like. And with no further ado, Eric, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Very, very cool. So this is just wonderful. This is a beautiful deck.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a long time in the creation. So
tell me about that. How long did it take you from the idea that you made the first card? Did you make one image and then it grew out of that, or did you set out to make a tarot card deck?
I started the deck that you have in front of you, the Tarot Illuminati, I started a little over 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with one card. It happened to be the Queen of Swords.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know at that point, it was more of a personal challenge for me. You can imagine doing a 78 card deck is a rather daunting task.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I would make it all the way through and end up completing this. But so it started a little over 3 years ago. But it really started way before that.
Mm-hmm.
It started over 25 years ago, almost 26 years ago, when I was first introduced to the art of tarot, and
mm-hmm.
Being an artist, I knew that eventually one day I would create my own deck. And I started on it many, many times over those years. But the business of living kept kind of getting in the way.
Sure.
you know. And it was only just over 3 years ago that I found myself in a place in my life where I could devote my time and my energy and to actually starting the project and working it all the way through from beginning to end. And there you have it in front of you.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm looking at the Queen of Swords now, and this was the first image that you created.
That was the very first
the
card. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Was that 5 years ago, you say, or 25 years ago? Was that?
No, that particular image was the very first card I began just over three and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everything prior to that were sketches that I would do, and I would sit down with my dear friend Bill Trivett, who owns New Visions Bookstore. I'm giving him a little plug here.
Awesome.
Because they are indeed the home of the Tarot Illuminati. He introduced me to Tarot over 25 years ago. And periodically, over our friendship, we would come back together after perhaps months or years of separation, and I would have a new idea and some new sketches, and we'd sit down and we'd go over them, but it never really went very far because, as I said, the business of living kept getting in the way. So when I picked it back up and decided this time it was time, I started with that Queen of Swords you're holding now, and it just carried on from there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome,
yeah.
Awesome. So cool, so cool. So how long did it take you to create the deck from beginning to end?
Almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm,
And then it was in actual production, the production phase, for probably another 6 to 8 months. But mm-hmm. from the first image to the last image, it was about 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't know whether or not I would be able to carry this through from beginning to end, because it was, as you can imagine, really daunting, 70 full paintings.
Yeah.
and there were highs and lows, you know, points where I was very disappointed in what I was accomplishing and wasn't feeling real motivated, so I would set it aside for a little while. So, yeah, about 3 years. And
well, that's what amazes me about the images, because I've seen many, many decks where they go gung-ho on the major arcana, and then on the minor arcana, they really kind of just put the, you know, the glyphs of the swords or the cups or whatever.
Well,
but this has, like, very, very detailed images on even all of the minor arcana cards.
Well, that was part of my problem with so many decks that I've acquired over the years,
yeah.
is finding a deck that each and every card spoke to me. And it evaded me. That deck didn't exist for me, I guess, or I never managed to track it down and secure it. But so I wanted to create a deck that each and every card, no card was of greater importance than that preceded it or any other card in the deck. Each card had to be a spectacular visual representation and tell a story, and that was what I set out to do. Hence,
well,
it taking 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
where the 3 years comes in.
Absolutely, but, absolutely.
Yeah,
well,
and go ahead.
Go
I'm sorry.
No, no.
Well,
go ahead.
I've worked with, and purchased many, many decks over the years, and all of them had something really spectacular and something I really loved about them. But none of them were the entire package for me. And the only way to solve that dilemma for me was to create my own. And it was a person, like I said, it started out as a very personal journey, and it wasn't actually, we have Pamela Steele to thank for this one, because, and you know Pamela, I know you've spoken with
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Amazing
her
woman.
Show. Yes, she is.
Amazing woman.
I deck. Yes.
My God,
deck.
She's absolutely brilliant. Not just brilliant,
mm-hmm.
but one of the one of the loveliest human beings I've had the pleasure of meeting through this whole experience. But she caught a glimpse of my Queen of Swords on my art gallery page before it was ever a tarot deck page. It was my Deviant Art Gallery, where I had a lot of other work in there. She caught a glimpse of that, and she tracked me down, and she reached out to me, and it was largely her enthusiasm about
that's great.
How this deck would speak to not just myself but so many other people that really started the wheels turning in terms of, well, maybe I should seriously consider pursuing publication of this deck. And it became a much bigger project then when I started thinking in terms of publishing it and, you know, letting her out there into the world and seeing what kind of magic she could create for other people.
I think it's so cool when someone can inspire us beyond where we're at ourselves.
I really owe Pamela a great great kudos for lighting the fire under me and encouraging me. And you know, she's been my biggest cheerleader online and offered such sage wisdom and advice based on her experience publishing Steel Wizard. So, my God, she was just absolutely brilliant and really helped me through the entire process from beginning to end and wrote the, actually blessed me by writing the foreword to the companion book, brilliantly written by Kim Huggins, by the way. Once the ball started rolling, it took on a life of its own, and it drew in these magnificent, brilliant people. And the saying, it takes a village?
Yes.
Well, it truly does. And my village consisted of Kim Huggins and Pamela Steele and Bill Trivett and Marcus Katz and Ricardo at Los Garabio, my publisher. I managed to have this brilliant group of people come to my aid and my support, and it never would have happened without all of them.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's been brilliant. It's been a brilliant, brilliant experience for me.
And to mention Kim Huggins, I've gotten a chance to look through some of the beautiful write-ups about the cards, and they're so archetypal and well thought out and beautifully worded, and that's just a journey in and of itself to take along with the imagery, and so it's just beautiful. It's so wonderful how it came together.
Let me tell you about Kim Huggins.
Absolutely.
Because I cannot give this woman enough accolades. I originally had another author that was going to collaborate on a deck with me. And for reasons beyond their control, they were unable to complete the project. And it was only about 3 months before my deadline to go into production. So here I was with the last half of the Major Arcana to complete and no book. And I went into panic mode. So I put out a call, a casting call, if you will, for anyone and everyone interested in writing a companion book for the deck to please get in touch with me and let me know. And the offers came flying in. But the moment I spoke with Kim Huggins, I realized she was the voice of the Tarot Illuminati. She shared my vision without ever having spoken to me about it before. She picked up on things in the cards that I thought would elude everyone but myself. Just brilliant. So in 3 months' time, not only did she manage to turn out a brilliant companion book, but she turned out a 600-page companion book.
Oh, my gosh.
Which obviously had to be scaled down going into production because it just wasn't in the budget. Has anyone ever put out a companion book that was 600 pages? Which was heart-wrenching because here was this Bible of brilliant insight and vision and information that she had worked on, and we had to scale it back drastically to accompany the deck and keep the deck affordable. So we went on, Kim and I went on the Rampage to make sure that, all of that text was available, hence her publishing through Llewellyn, the ebook version, which encompasses the entire text that she wrote. And it is brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. Her wealth of knowledge is just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. So again, this never would have happened without Kim Huggins. I owe her the world as well.
I think too, like sometimes when you get out of the way of what's supposed to happen and just open up to what the universe has in store for you, sometimes things come out so much more brilliantly. It's hard to get out of the way of how we plan for things.
Well,
but
and
so
on
wonderful.
on that note, let's talk about the name.
Yes.
Thoreau Illuminati, because that's exactly what happened. I didn't have a title when I started the deck. I hadn't even considered a title. But closer to the end, it became imperative to start thinking about what am I going to call this deck. And I struggled, and I beat myself up and labored over juxtapositioning words and adjectives and trying to come up with it. And one evening, I finally threw my hands in the air and said, this is ridiculous. Nothing is working. Nothing rings true for me. I'm leaving it alone. I'm handing this over to the universe, and the deck will, the universe will name the deck. That night, and this is no exaggeration, that night, I have been known to exaggerate. On this topic, I'm not exaggerating. That very night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I sat bolt upright in bed out of a dead sleep, and whispered the words Thoreau Illuminati, and that was it. I knew. All I had to do was relinquish this topic to the universe, and she would provide. And boom, there it was. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It so spoke to exactly what I was attempting to accomplish with the deck, illumination. You know, no references to secret societies or the Dan Brown, the fabulous Dan Brown novels, which I'm a huge fan of. Just simply, the fact that that's what Thoreau does for me is illuminates, you know, these dark recesses oftentimes that we don't acknowledge on a day-to-day basis. So. Yeah, it's funny that, as you said, you give it up to the universe and it happens, and that's what happens.
It has bigger plans for you than you had for yourself.
Indeed. This whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm really quite in awe of the way this whole thing has gone.
Well, I have something to share with you, because when I saw your deck, I saw the Queen of Wands, and I'm a Leo, so I'm very partial to the Queen of Wands. You know, she's the fire queen.
Yes.
But you have to share this.
Your dream.
Yeah, it was a trip. Okay. So I had this dream that I was in this, a Catholic, like
where the Pope... A cathedral?
A cathedral, right, yes. And I was on the stage, and... the Pope was in the background, and he was going, blah, 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 blah. You couldn't tell what he was saying. And then I was on the stage, but I was kind of off to the side, so I was trying to figure out, like, what my role was there. And there was this woman there was this series of waterways, like these tubes up on the stage, and she was underneath the water, which was all on the stage of this cathedral, and she was like going whoop 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 whoop, and there were these bubbles coming up from the surface, and to me she represented the divine feminine, and there were all of these sunflowers all over the place that were green and bright Kelly green and bright yellow all over the place, all over the stage. And I kept looking. My parents had this set of books when I was a child that were classical iconography from, you know, different paintings from different time periods. And I knew that this image was from classic iconography. I'd seen it somewhere before, and I didn't know where. And when I saw your depiction of the Queen of Wands, it was exactly what the woman looked like, and the imagery was exactly what was in my dream. And that's what made me connect with the deck. I was like, wow, there's the image, that's the image. So it was really fascinating. I think it's amazing how these images exist in the unconscious, you know, and there's a collective energy that fuels their, you know, how they show up in the world. But it was just amazing.
That's fantastic.
I like it.
That's fantastic.
So,
and she's indeed one of my favorite characters in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's incredible the way things like that happen.
I know.
You sent me a brief email trying to explain that dream to me, and I couldn't quite grasp it. So I'm so glad I get to hear you relay it to me firsthand, because now I get it.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me because your deck, in some ways, is so original and so unique, but then it's so clear that it draws from classical iconography too. Like, you can see from one picture to the next themes that are in our unconscious, that exist there. It's very, very archetypal, and it's very rich, and it's very compelling, I think, for that reason. You've really tapped into that quality of the imagery that already exists in us in such a beautiful way.
Well, and I've been blessed enough to have, I've been very blessed in that there have been some absolutely brilliant tarot artists way before me who influenced my vision for my deck and played heavily into my symbolism and imagery. Rider-Waite, for example. I mean, it's obvious that Rider-Waite influences this deck in a tremendous degree. In fact, this woman, Joan, and I can't pronounce her last name. I think it's Italian. I want to say, well, I'm not even going to try because I know I'll mess it up. But she, there had been some chatter on the internet about it being Rider-Waite knockoff or Rider-Waite clone. And I don't think it was meant to be. I don't think in most circumstances it was meant to be offensive or derogatory. It was just their way of explaining the connection with Rider-Waite. And then Joan emailed me and described it as the 21st century child of the great ancestors, including the Rider-Waite. That spoke truth to me. It was pulled from the same DNA pool as the Rider-Waite. And that's how I see it, is that, you know, there were these absolute masters way before me who are still in publication. And I wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel here. Just put my spin, my flavor, my Baroque kind of... my Baroque kind of take on those masters' work, and hopefully I was successful in that and honored them at the same time rather than detracting from what has gone before. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Like that you have drawn from different sources but honored what came before. Absolutely, absolutely.
Right.
I definitely see that in these depictions, for sure, for sure.
My dear friend, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go on, your dear friend.
My dear friend Bill Trivett, who introduced me to tarot 26 years ago, the first deck he turned me on to was the Rider-Waite. And I think I'm not sure, start with Rider-Waite.
Right.
And, you know, and that's kind of the platform, and then you can branch out in a million different directions once you've got that firm grounding in the art and language of tarot. And many people do. You know, there are brilliant decks out there that have moved way off into left and right fields. But there's still, you know, there's still some semblance of the Rider-Waite in them, too, I think, in most of them. But I wanted to create a deck that was entirely original, but that the novice could pick up who had maybe only been exposed to Rider-Waite, or the professional who has been exposed to thousands of decks that anybody and everyone could pick up and immediately sit down and read with. Because it was that recognizable, yet that fresh and new. So that's kind of what I was striving for. And in that way, honoring, you know, the great masters who have gone before me.
Of course. My class.
And I'm not, don't misunderstand me, I'm not calling myself a master by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, these are beautiful. My classes that I teach, I think it's so important for people to be able to, you know, pick up a deck where they can draw from that beginning base of tarot so that it goes back to a source, but that they can pick up something fresh and new that speaks to them, which is why I always say get something that's based on the Rider-Waite when you're learning. I would call it a derivative of the Rider-Waite, just so you can have enough freshness and enough excitement in terms of the way the imagery comes to you that it really speaks to you, but you can still draw on the basic archetypal structure of the tarot while you're learning. And I think this does that beautifully. So,
Once you have a clear understanding of the Rider-Waite, you have a firm foundation in Rider-Waite, it's difficult to find a deck that you can't pick up and see the influence of it or immediately recognize, or you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
But there are so many. There are so many decks out there that have influenced me greatly. I mean, there are just some really spectacular pieces of work out there that I kind of feel like my deck pales in comparison to many of them.
Can you name some of the ones that were influencing your?
Oh my God! Where to begin? Obviously, we've thrown Rider-Waite around enough. So let's see. My favorite deck of all time, that not necessarily to read with, but purely for the imagery alone, is probably the Medieval Scapini.
Oh, that's a beautiful deck.
I absolutely love that deck. One of my favorites of all time. But the deck that I actually read with for a number of years was the Aquarian deck. And it has the same vibrancy of color that my deck emulates.
Yes.
But it has kind of a nouveau, the artwork has kind of a nouveau feel to it, very stylized, nouveau kind of thing. And there's another deck, the Art Nouveau deck, is absolutely beautiful.
Not seen that one. Let's check it out.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Let's see. Cosmic Tribe, which is a digitally mastered deck. Brilliant work. and there are influences there that are in my deck, except that I kind of cleaned it up a little bit and put clothes on everybody, almost everybody. It's very graphic in the nudity, which is not a bad thing. But that's a gorgeous deck. The Feng Shui deck. One of my favorites, the Golden Tarot, Golden Tarot of the Tsars, gorgeous deck.
Awesome.
Yeah, what else? Oh, my gosh. The Crystal Tarot is absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. Tarot of the Imagination, oh, my God.
I've seen that, but I've never taken it out of the box. Like, I've always been really drawn to it.
Exquisite artwork, exquisite, and very unique. So there's just been so many, and I could go on for days.
I recently used the Gilded Tarot, which is a very, very bright colors, and it's got the little, I always think of it as using the chakras to read the tarot, because it's got a little color key up at the top of each one of the different suits and that sort of thing. So I love that deck.
Another beautiful deck. Yeah, another beautiful deck, absolutely.
I'm intrigued with the way that you've done the court cards in different races. I think that's really, really neat that you've done that.
And it's not just the court cards, but the entire suit.
Yes. talk about that a little. What was the decision about to do? I just think that's such a neat way to pull in the whole, I don't know, cosmos and to add another layer to what Tarot is all about and how it's from the collective unconscious and it's about it's a community experience. I just think that's really cool. So how did you come about the idea to do that?
Well, I think first and foremost, all of the cultures that are represented in the deck are cultures that I've always been very intrigued by. The Elizabethan era, for example, which is your swords. I have always been fascinated with that time period. The Golden Age. The Persian Empire and the Persian culture. I actually lived in Persia, what is now Iran, for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a very close connection to that culture and have always found the mysticism and every aspect of the Persian culture incredibly fascinating. The Asian cultures have always been of great fascination for me. So when I was when I was creating these suits, they developed organically. I would go to work on a specific suit, and I would just kind of let instinct rule, and that's the way they came into being. Prescribing those specific cultures to those specific suits, for example. But then after they developed, it made sense to me why, like the swords being Elizabethan, for example. Swords being air, obviously. The element of air being your breath, therefore communication, and particularly the spoken word. The Elizabethan era, who is it most famous for other than Queen Elizabeth? Shakespeare.
Right.
So it made perfect sense that era, which was, for the first time in European history, a monarchy that was open and receptive to new ideas and new forms of art and expression, particularly through the spoken word, which is largely why it was called the Golden Age. So it made sense that my swords manifested in the Elizabethan era. The Persian empire or culture is there's a great degree of mysticism. And the colors, the saffrons and the Silk Road and the illumination of the strong sun and the desert sands and all of this, it worked perfectly for the wands for me. Pentacles being a rather earthbound suit. Chinese empire not only covered a enormous landmass and territory, but incredible wealth in art and precious stones and metals and silks and architecture, as well as a real strong sense of family, which is a large part of the suit of pentacles. Loyalty to family and passing on what you've created to the people you leave behind. So they made perfect sense for pentacles. And then, of course, cups, emotions. This is the only group in the deck that doesn't pull from, I think, an actual culture. I wanted to create a very ethereal group of beings, almost elven-like, that really felt as if they were emoting unconditional love and emotion and spirituality, and so that's why I went with those characters in that suit and the colors, of course. So yeah, that's kind of how that all happened.
And did you go into it, I mean, I know that you went into it knowing that you were going to depict various cultures in the different suits, but did you know why you were doing that, or did the story come to you after the imagery came to you and the sense or the reason behind it come to you slowly as you were doing
the imagery? The imagery came first and felt spot on. And then as the suit developed, it made sense to me why. So again, in a way, like we talked about the naming of the deck and how I wound up with the brilliant Kim Huggins, handing it over to intuition just seemed to work out brilliantly well in the end. It started with intuition and instinct, and as the story developed with each suit, it just made perfect sense as to why I was going in that direction, so I continued with it.
Awesome.
And I have I have a really strong background in theater and costume design. So I had a lot of fun working with the costuming of my characters, and fortunately, the cultures that I went with allowed for very elaborate, stage-worthy costuming.
It's interesting, as you're telling me about everything that went into designing your deck, I'm just seeing it with so much more depth. It's so much more resonant. I mean, they're beautiful images and clearly so well-developed. But as I'm hearing you share your journey with it, it's just even more rich, you know, to hear your background and hear all of the different elements that you needed to listen to and combine and draw from to design it. It's a wonderful story in itself.
When we talk about this journey starting 25 plus years ago, I think it took the business of living and all of life lessons and all of my experiences over those years to culminate to the point where I was ready to actually produce the Illuminati in a convincing isn't the word I'm looking for, but in a truly passionate way, you know.
Kind of to do it justice.
Yeah. I had a lot to learn, you know, and a lot of things to experience and things to be exposed to before I could gather all of those things up and kind of put them all into my deck. I think if I had attempted to do this deck, let's say 10 years ago, it never would have manifested the way this has. The timing was, I was just ripe for it, I guess.
I think sometimes it's interesting, you know, when we go into the place of the ego, we have all these deadlines and concerns and things like that. But honestly, sometimes things take time because, you know, there's a maturation process and a ripening that's happening in us. And something wants to be birthed in a certain time because it all comes together then.
Absolutely.
And so that's wonderful.
And I was really hoping that she would be born walking. Instead, she was born running, and now it looks like she's flying already.
Taking flight, yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's left me behind.
And what's
Drow
that
Illuminati
then, like?
has kind of left me behind in her dust, and I'm thrilled by that and humbled. Humbled is key here. This entire experience has been the most profoundly humbling experience of my life.
Oh, that's lovely.
Every positive comment I get is just even more humbling than the one that came before it. And it really has been a tremendous, tremendous journey for me and an eye-opening experience. And I'm just so grateful that there are so many receptive, brilliant people out there who can see and hear in this deck what I did.
Well, and that brings me to the fact that for folks who are listening who don't know, there is a wonderful group on Facebook called Deck Creators for people who design tarot decks or have designed books or written books about tarot. And it's a wonderful community of people who all get together and talk about tarot. And it's so interesting how this brainchild, you know, we always think about the things that we design as coming out of ourselves, but I don't know about you, as we're going through, you know, the process of ascension in our culture, I'm seeing this coming together and this really cool thing on the internet where people from different places, different backgrounds who have complementary paths are helping each other. Like you were talking about how
it's
Pamela
phenomenal.
Hill really lit a fire under you know what to
get you going. It's phenomenal.
Yes.
and it's global. Which is really, really magnificent. Before I tapped into this whole social media thing, my reservoir of like-minded individuals in terms of tarot and New Age thinking and metaphysics was limited right here to York, Pennsylvania, and those people that I encountered at New Visions Bookstore, for example. But tapping into this whole social media thing has opened up doorways I never dreamt existed. I'm conversing with people in South Africa and the Netherlands. And, oh, my God, there's this brilliant, brilliant review written by a gentleman in Portugal. He goes online. He goes by Le Fanu. I don't know if I can tell you his real name, but I'm going to because I think he's fantastic. His name's Roger. But he wrote this incredibly brilliant review of my deck. And never without this whole social media and this global movement would have I ever connected with this individual who's just a magnificent human being. I have to plan a trip to Portugal now.
How wonderful.
You know, just to meet him face-to-face because he's such an amazing human being. By the way, Pamela just posted probably the most exquisite tarot deck review on YouTube this afternoon. And you can find it on my web pages, but I'm sure on hers as well. Mm-hmm. It is the most beautiful, most eloquent review I've seen thus far. She's an absolute genius too.
Awesome.
But yeah, this whole global, this ability to connect with people all over the world and get constructive criticism from them.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And I was not one for social media until Pamela shoved it down my throat. I never would have Facebooked on a personal level. I don't care what you had for dinner and what you're pulling out of the refrigerator at the moment, or you know what I mean? That's not the way I want to interact socially. But the ability to connect on this level with something like tarot, it's been absolutely magnificent, and I'm so glad Pamela forced me into it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I've met some really amazing people. Amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very blessed. Very blessed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel the same way. I started doing Inner Voice about 3 years ago, and I could never have imagined where it would go and how many people I would meet along the way who were contributing such wonderful, you know, art and such wonderful philosophy and ideas.
Well,
and it's amazing.
And here we are, you and I.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Were it not for this venue,
That's right.
I never would have had the honor of chatting with you about how this whole thing developed. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yes,
absolutely
really
fantastic. And thank you, by the way, for inviting me to chat for a while. It's really quite an honor.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Thank you for sending me the deck. It's just so beautiful. It's like each card is, there's so much going on in each picture that, you know, it's just they're wonderful. They're like little works of art, each one.
Well, and it was imperative. Wonderful. Actually, they were really big works of art before they got shrunk down and printed on tarot cards. But yeah, I thought it was imperative that you actually have an opportunity to work with the deck and have it in your hands and thumb through it prior to us having this conversation. It would have been entirely different conversation if you hadn't had that opportunity, I think.
Well, this is true. I agree with you. Well, I have to say the images that really, really draw me are the Queen of Pentacles. I just love the way
she magnificent?
Beautiful.
She is. Yeah, and she's actually the cover of Tarosophy magazine. Latest edition of Tarosophy magazine put out by Marcus Katz and Tally, which is a brilliant publication. And there's a wonderful article in there as well, written by the lovely Kim Huggins, specifically focusing on how the illumination, the actual light source, plays into each and every card.
Talk about that a little.
Well, it's you have to read the article because it's Kim's observation. It happened for me. Of course, as an artist, light is absolutely essential. And maintaining the integrity of where your light source is coming from and where it's going to cast shadow. I mean, if you're striking for any sense of realism, then you have to pay attention to those things. But Kim has taken it to a whole nother level where she's picked up on why the card is illuminated with this particular type of light coming from this particular direction and illuminating these particular elements. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant what she has picked up on. And perhaps I was doing it instinctively or intuitively without even realizing I was doing it, and it took her to really concrete it in my conscious as to why I was doing what I was doing. But yeah, she's just brilliant. And there's a wonderful article written by Kim in this Tarosophy magazine, put out, like I said, by Marcus Katz, with the Queen of Pentacles on the cover, gracing the cover. Another one of my favorite cards.
It would be great if you could share those links with me, and I'll come back to the page and put them there so that people can find both the video from the Portugal guy, and this article that you speak of, so that people who are interested in knowing more about the deck and more about, you know, your influences and what's come after can look those things up easily. So.
I will send you links galore.
Fantastic. And that would be great.
Marcus Katz actually graced another cover of his Tarosophist International magazine with the High Priestess. And I think this was well over a year ago. I think it was the winter of 2011 edition. He had seen the High Priestess, which caused quite
a stir.
He put that on. She's kind of become the face of the Illuminati. She graces the cover of the box and the silk bag and the cover of the book. And that just kind of happened. But yeah, he picked up on her immediately and put her on the cover way back in 2011. And that really, again, thanks to Marcus Katz, because that generated a whole new awareness in the Tarot community for the deck, and people started to watch it as it developed. Yeah, so like I said, it took a village, and there's so many people, I feel like I'm at the Oscars thanking all of the people who made this possible. But
awesome,
rightfully so.
Absolutely.
All of these people really warrant a huge amount of gratitude on my part. They all played such important roles.
I'm also looking here at your Five of Wands, and I'm just blown away. That's just beautiful. I can't even. I mean, it's got. I mean, I'm sure you've got all these cards burned into your brain, but it's got very, very bright sultans, and then these crossbars of the staffs going back and forth in this kind of zigzag. It's just.
Yeah, the
exquisite.
The Persian
like,
men sparring.
Yes, yes,
yes,
yes. And
yes.
That's one of my favorite cards in the traditional deck anyway, because I always think about it as, you know, is it sparring or is it through the power of the energy creating something new by kind of, you know, having to go into this place where something looks antagonistic but is actually cooperative in the end.
And you know what, I kind of see it as intellectual sparring where it takes lots of different ideas.
Yeah.
For kind of the best ones to surface to the top.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And respecting other people's ideas and insights,
faith.
And therefore
yes.
gaining strength through admiring and appreciating other viewpoints, and so that's kind of how I see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
well, have you thought about creating any, I'm just wondering because some of these are just so beautiful, have you thought about creating any limited edition artworks of the cards?
Well, we haven't talked about my publisher very much, Lo Scarabio.
Yes.
Brilliant.
We've got a few minutes, but
brilliant.
But I want to know.
anybody looking to publish, if you want to work with a publisher who will respect and appreciate your vision as an artist from beginning to end, this is the house that I found respected my vision, supported my vision, and made it manifest in what you're holding in front of you. These guys are brilliant. Ricardo Minetti in particular at Lo Scarabio. Mm. Brilliant. I would encourage anybody who's thinking about publishing to court this particular publisher. They're located in Turin, Italy, and they are brilliant, absolutely brilliant. What got me off on that tangent? What was the question? Oh, limited edition prints.
Yes, limited edition prints, yes.
We're talking about Ricardo and I, and that was another brilliant thing about working with this publishing house, is that they respect me enough as an artist to allow me to hang on to all my copyrights. Which does not
Wonderful.
Necessarily happen in the big
yes.
publishing world.
Right.
So I have the rights to publish limited edition poster prints and that kind of thing. So we're kind of thinking about that. This is also new, you know. The deck was only released May 8th. So
oh, yeah. That's
we've been consumed with shipping and distribution up until this point, trying to make sure that everybody had what they needed. 7 minutes remaining, is that right?
Yes.
So those
right.
things are coming. Those things are coming.
Awesome.
And I'm real excited about that because they're even more beautiful poster size than they are in card format. Although I have to commend Lo Scarabio again in the printing quality because not the most minute detail is lost in the card imagery,
yes.
even though they've been scaled down so drastically.
Yeah,
I mean, it really
yes.
is a top-notch production job that they did. They're brilliant.
Oh, it really is. They're just.
I'm
beautiful.
So grateful. Do I sound grateful?
You do. You sound. Your enthusiasm is overflowing, and it's wonderful to hear it.
I'm over the top with with gratuitous feelings for all of these wonderful people who made this all possible, and you as well for having me on and letting me spew. About how grateful
oh, yeah.
I am for an hour.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, we just have a very few more minutes, so I
okay.
want to make sure that there's anything that you haven't gotten to say about your beautiful deck that you have time to do that, and also where do you get this wonderful deck? I mean, I'm sure, you know, where I mean, I'm sure you can get it all over the place at this point.
Okay.
That, yeah.
If you are in North America,
mm-hmm.
There are lots of different venues to acquire the deck, either online through things like Amazon or from the publisher's website, Lo Scarabio, or from Llewellyn's website. It's also in Barnes & Noble stores all over the nation. a buddy of mine just picked it up in New York City in Barnes & Noble, which was really, really fun to hear about. But this is what I would encourage anyone domestically to do. New Visions Bookstore, right here in York, Pennsylvania, has been my rock, my foundation for 26 years. Bill and Bob, the owners of New Visions, have been so incredibly supportive of me. If you are, or if you want to acquire this deck domestically, I would encourage you to order it through New Visions, and that's newvisionsbooks.com is their website. You can find links to them all over my Facebook pages. It's also the only venue to get a signed copy of the deck. So that's important. But I would steer people in that direction just because these two friends have been so incredibly supportive of me. But you can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Amazon. I also would encourage anybody who is interested in the deck to go ahead for a pittance. They can purchase the extended ebook version published by Llewellyn, written by Kim, with the entire 600 pages of text, although I think it works out to closer to 400 digitally. But it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And it's full of so much more information than the wonderful companion book that comes with the kit. What else was I supposed to say?
Well, just in the very few minutes that we have, I would like for you to just suggest to people who are at a different stage in their journey and wanting to publish a deck, what advice would you give to them about their artistic process or staying true to the integrity of what they're doing?
Trust your intuition, first and foremost. Trust your gut. Trust your intuition. Let the project speak to you and run with it. Inevitably, if you handle it that way, you're going to produce a brilliant deck. Do not get caught up in criticisms or critiques too early in the game, because it can be very distracting, disheartening, and it makes it really tough to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And believe me, there is a light at the end of that 78-card tunnel. And if you're lucky and you trust your intuition, that light is going to turn out to be an oncoming train, and you're going to have to jump out of its way. But trust your intuition. Trust what spirit is telling you is the right way to handle your illustration. Court a lot of different publishers. Not every publisher is right for every deck. U.S. Games may be right for somebody. Llewellyn might be right for somebody else. For me, it was Los Garabio, and I can't endorse them enough. Schiffer is doing some beautiful work. But court a lot of different publishers. Talk to a lot of different people. And get advice from people. Get advice from people like Pamela Steele, Roxy, Pearl of Wisdom, brilliant woman.
Beautiful.
Brilliant woman.
Yes.
She is a wonderful, wonderful, generous soul who will give you advice on publishing. And there are so many people out there that are willing to offer any kind of advice or help they can, and I'm one of them. Please don't hesitate to contact me through my website, and I'd be happy to pay it forward, if you will, and help any new tarot artist looking to publish or even use a sounding board. I'm there. I'm absolutely.
Awesome. It's so wonderful to realize how big that community is and how supportive it is.
And it is huge, and it's incredibly supportive. There are a few dissidents here and there. Don't let them bring you down. There always are. There's a bad apple in every basket. Some of them are really even worm infested, but we're not going to mention names.
No.
Don't let. And they will hit you. Don't let them destroy your vision or bring you down at all. Move on to the thousands of others who have nothing but support and love for what you're doing.
On that note, we are out of time. But thank you so much, Eric Dunn. It was a wonderful conversation.
Jen, it's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Oh,
and
you're so
perhaps
welcome.
Perhaps we can visit again sometime in the future when
that would be wonderful.
New things have developed.
Absolutely.
And I will send
have
you those links.
Have a great
links.
Evening.
You
great.
Do the same.
Awesome. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Be well.
You too.
My name says the full time fool. The joke is on me. I got a
Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic, see magic in your world. That's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Take good care. Bye now.